the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. What a great name. A Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, did you notice his name is not Barnabas? His name is not Barnabas. Barnabas means son of encouragement. But that's his nickname. His name is Joseph, also a fantastic name. But he is known in the entire New Testament. In fact, did you know that his real name was Joseph until we just now talked about it? Most of us just go, well, that's Barnabas, and we know Barnabas, and we talk about Barnabas, and Barnabas the encourager and all this. Well, Barnabas was his nickname. It wasn't his name. His name was Joseph, but his character was so reflected in that name, son of encouragement, which, you know, if you're going to get a nickname, son of encouragement is a great one, isn't it? Now, most of our nicknames, I have a nickname. Most of you are aware of that. Nick is not my name. Nick is just a nickname. It doesn't mean anything as far as I know. You know, I can't say, well, it means son of encouragement. I think it just means Nick. You know, it's pretty nondescript. Now, some nicknames have to do with physical traits. You know, you've got Slim is a nickname, you know, kind of describes maybe the person, or Bigfoot or Harry. You know, those are ones that you might not want, but maybe something has happened and you got your nickname because of something that happened in a very public forum. For a while, my son, Chris, was known as Flip, and it was because he was playing rugby and went in for a tackle and instead did this incredible flip. And so for a long period of time, he was known as Flip. Or sometimes you may get a name that is based on character. So somebody might be called maybe Honest John or something like that. Barnabas is a nickname, but it reflected his character. What if each of us received a name that reflected our character? What would my nickname be? What would people call us if our names, our nicknames, reflected our character? I would hope to have something like Barnabas. I love this. And so I want us to look at this son of encouragement, Barnabas, who is the hero encourager of the New Testament. And I learn as we look at this, I learn several things. I learned three things from the life of Barnabas. First, Barnabas, in being an encourager, uses what God has given him to encourage others. That's how we get to know him. We get to know him at the very first because he's actually sold something in order to bring that and have it used. He sold a field and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. His generosity, part of the way in which he encourages is his generosity. And I think sometimes we limit encouragement. We think that encouragement is only to tell someone something encouraging, and certainly that's a part of it. But there's so many different ways, and one of the ways that we can encourage, we can be this kind of hero encourager, is in being generous, in doing that which God, giving that which God has given to us and giving it back to him for him to use. And there's so many different ways that will impact people's lives. Jason and I spent some time in Latvia this week, and we saw the result of some generosity on the part of people around the world that is making a difference in Riga and outside of Riga, Latvia. It's changing people's lives. Now, the truth of the matter is most of those people who are in that place will never meet the person who encouraged them. Encouragement doesn't absolutely have to be, I'm face to face with you. God can use other things in order to change people's lives and encourage them. Now, we're told that Barnabas is a Levite. He's from Cyprus, so he's Greek-speaking, and he is from that area, but he is a Levite. Now, in the Old Testament, the Levites were forbidden from owning land. So either we have one of two things that is happening because he sold some sort of land. Now, that means one of two things. Either that prohibition has ended before that, and Levites are now owning land in the first century, or, and probably more likely, Barnabas has sold his burial place because they could own the place where they would be buried. Sometimes I wonder what's more important to us, encouraging those who are around us or preparing for something of which we may or may not ever be able to be a part of. Isn't it funny how we'll invest so much of what we have in things that never really come to bear, or we really never benefit from, or we already have, and yet we just want another one? Amazing to me that Barnabas, as a hero encourager, decided he could do without that. After all, he's no longer there. He didn't need it. And he was willing to give it up in order to encourage those in that early church. And one of the characteristics of a hero encourager is that they have the ability to see the significance of the eternal over the earthly. Barnabas was that kind of person. The second thing I see in Barnabas's life is that he seeks the one who struggles to find their place. Now, Barnabas didn't just invest in people at a distance. He was willing to come alongside of the people who were looking on the outside, looking in. Now, you realize, of course, that one of the greatest theologians of the 20th century was Dr. Seuss. If you've read his books, you know. And one of his great theological treatises is called The Sneetches. In case you don't remember the story, now we have two Sneetches up here. And in case you don't remember the story, the Sneetches are tall, yellow creatures who live on beaches. And in Seuss's story, these creatures are divided into two groups, those with green stars on their bellies and those who don't have green stars on the belly. And the green-starred Sneetches comprise the in crowd. They're the popular ones. And they build exclusive campfires in which they sing their Sneetches songs. And the Sneetches without green stars on their bellies, they're the outsiders. They are the losers. But one day, there comes a guy named Sylvester McMonkey McBean, bound to be a nickname, and he comes to town with a strange contraption called a star-on machine. And for a mere $3, Sneetches can line up and get green stars on their bellies. So all the no-star Sneetches jump at the chance, give their $3, and they get a star. Now, the in-crowd Sneetches are no longer distinct. You can't tell the difference. And so they begin to complain. And so, of course, Sylvester McMonkey McBean has a star-off machine. And for $10, you can get your star removed. And so now all of those who were the in crowd now get their star removed so that the in crowd is now the out crowd. Yeah, it gets very confusing. But Dr. Seuss says, neither the plane nor the star bellies knew whether this one was that one, or that one was this one, or which one was what one, or what one was who. Could you repeat that back for me, please? Yeah. Eventually, everyone mixed together. And there is this profound truth that God desires that those who are on the outside come and be on the inside. C.S. Lewis wrote about this in an essay called The Inner Ring, and he said, you discover gradually in most indefinable ways that this inner ring of exclusion and inclusion exists, and that you are outside of it, and later perhaps you are inside it. And it's not easy at any moment to say who is inside and who is outside. And I believe, he says, that in all our lives at certain periods, and in many of our lives at all periods between infancy and extreme old age, one of the most dominant elements is the drive to be inside the local ring and the terror of being left outside. If you've been outside, you know that terror. You know that desire to be inside. And one of the ways that the encourager works is to go to those who are outside and bring them inside. In Acts 9, 26 through 30, Luke writes about Saul. Now you remember Saul, the one who persecuted the church and became a believer. And so in Acts 9, 26 through 30, Luke writes about him and says, "And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples." He wanted to be a part of the inside. "And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus." Send him home, back to Tarsus. And so later, when Barnabas is sent to Antioch, he first goes to Tarsus and gets Saul and brings him along. And eventually, they are sent out together by the church. It is wonderful when someone does something good, isn't it? It's always great. You know, we have people, and so often I look at the ways in which the church ministers, in which you do things that are incredible in terms of reaching out and touching so many lives. But how much better it is to first go and take someone by the hand who is outside and bring them inside and take them with you to do those things together. You see, part of being a hero encourager is to look for those people who are outside and find ways of building bridges to the inside to bring them with you. And so often, the best way to do that is simply as you are doing good, as you are doing the things that God's called you to do, take someone with you. Encourage them. Say, "You can do this too," and do it together. And then finally, from Barnabas, the hero encourager, I learned that he lifts the one who has fallen. He lifts the one who has fallen. Who do you know who has fallen and everyone else has given up on him? Everyone else has given up. I've seen this. And so often, the pain, you know, I think the pain of being on the outside looking in and not knowing how to get in is only surpassed by being on the inside and being thrust on the outside. And how often have we made the mistake of seeing someone fall and simply discounting their ability to come back? Acts 15 verses 36 through 40 says, "And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are.' Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them the one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. So they split. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, who had fallen. He had given up. He had gone home. He had stopped working. He had been on one of the missionary journeys with Paul and with Barnabas, and he had deserted them, abandoned them. He had fallen. And Paul had written him off. But Barnabas, the hero encourager, wanted to go back and give John Mark a second chance. And that dispute was so strong that they actually split. Barnabas chose encouragement over being a part of the better team. Here's the thing. You don't hear anything from Barnabas after this. You just don't. You know who you hear about? John Mark. At the end of his life, Paul says to Timothy, come visit me and bring John Mark because he is profitable to me. Barnabas, the hero encourager, was willing to fade from the scene in order that others, the one who had fallen, who had deserted the cause, everybody else had given up on him, except for Barnabas, who was willing to fade from the scene so that another could be lifted up. Never discount how important encouragement is. And never discount your ability to make a difference in the kingdom, regardless of how God has created you. You don't have to be up front. You can be a hero in the kingdom of God simply by being who you are and encouraging others to do the same. Would you pray with me, please? Father, as we